Welcome to WP Coffee Talk with your podcast barista, Michelle Frechette. Special thanks to our amazing sponsors, Sentry Hosting, Expander Digital, GoWP, and WP Explorer. WP Coffee Talk is a proud supporter of Big Orange Heart, whose mission is to support and promote positive well-being and mental health within remote working communities. Please consider a donation to Big Orange Heart to continue to support this great mission. Welcome to the next episode of WP Coffee Talk, where I get to talk to people all over the WordPress community, all over the world. And today, my guest is Beth Hannon. Hi, Beth. How are you?
I'm great. I'm glad to be here.
It's so nice to have you here. Thank you for being here today. Where are you located? I should know this, but I don't remember.
I live in beautiful Bend, Oregon. That's in central Oregon. So it's about 3 hours from Portland on the other side of the mountains. And it's we have the biggest ski resort west of the Rockies, and a river, and paddling, and lakes, and backpacking, and hiking, and camping, and it's because it's a tourist destination, then tons of great foodie restaurants, and we used to have the highest number per capita of brew pubs anywhere in the world.
Oh wow!
Or anywhere in the country, but yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's pretty cool.
Lots. It's a cool little town. Yeah.
So not only on the other side of the Rockies, you're actually on the other side of the continent from me. Because I'm way over here in New York, of course, but you and I first met because of my job at GiveWP. Matt Cromwell introduced us.
He did. And we did a little bit with Give, and then we kind of moved in a different direction for a little bit, but then now we're back doing a lot more with Give, and you've helped me out on some problems. So
it's always my pleasure, of course.
It's always great to, and that's one of the things I love about the WordPress community is like sometimes when you're getting support from people, it's like people you've actually met. And
yeah, exactly.
You can hear their voice in your head.
I know, isn't that wild? And like, you know, I know one of the things too is like, yes, we met through Give and everything, but our paths have crossed in a million different ways since then too, which is always fun. So
yeah,
sure. I appreciate that. And seeing the pictures of the grandkid online. Oh, so that's a new thing in your life for sure.
It is. My wife and I have a new grandbaby, very first one. Okay. And you know, having a baby in the middle of a pandemic is a little kind of strange.
Yeah, for sure.
So we picked up and we moved out. They live near St. Louis. So we moved out there in time to quarantine before, and then like we're in their bubble for a while, and now, you know, we left a couple weeks ago, but now it's kind of like, well, when will we see them in person again? Who knows?
Yeah, for sure. Well, congratulations on the new little one. That's exciting.
Thanks. For sure. She's adorable.
I see the pictures, so I know that for sure. I love it.
She's a character. She has a little Elvis smirk.
Oh, that's even better. She's got that little curled lip going on. Love it. That's awesome. I know what she's going to be for Halloween then, right?
With a little pompadour. Yeah, that would be great.
A little sequin outfit. The popped collar. It's going to be awesome.
I'll have to try to push that one over on her mom. I'm not sure.
Too funny. Well, tell us a little bit about yourself and what you do.
Okay. So I'm Beth Hannon, and I live in Bend with my wife of 36 years, and we have a cat. And I love living in Bend because it's just such a relaxed community in many ways. It's because the outdoor recreation makes it sort of like, this is my, you know, my fleece and is kind of like dressing up. That's my business form. That's business formal.
Nice.
And I run a small WordPress agency that does mostly WordPress. And we do a lot of general development still, but we've been specializing more recently in accessibility pieces. We had a client project that took us to learn about that, and it was amazing, and we love doing accessibility stuff. So we're doing a lot of that and working more recently with some food bloggers. I'd never done a lot. We mostly worked with businesses, and so starting to work with bloggers, and that's kind of interesting too. So
that is interesting. I've been recently doing a deep dive into food blogs because you may or may not know I'm on the WordCamp US organizing team. And this year, of course, it's virtual. So we're trying to create like a virtually St. Louis so that people can at least kind of feel about St. Louis, sure, even if they can't go there, right? So I'm looking for recipes that I can share. And I don't want to break any copyrights, of course. So I can't just copy somebody else's recipe. So I'm trying to figure out like which blogger might be the most approachable and let me, you know, link back to their, like use their recipe and link back to their blog. And so that I'm negotiating that right now.
Well, I would think you shouldn't have any problem linking to them. I mean,
right, but
You want to copy the recipes?
I want to copy the recipe, embed it, and then link back to them. So we'll see. I might do it the other way around. I might just link to 5 or 6 and we'll see. We'll see. But anyway, so
there's some really interesting ones out there. I'm kind of an aspiring foodie anyway. And so like working with these food bloggers is really not helping my pandemic weight gain issues, right?
And every food blogger has to be an amazing photographer because the food pictures have to look appetizing. So it's like they all take classes in that, I think.
Do you know that one of the people that contacted us recently about an audit is a woman who runs a site specifically for learning how to photograph food for your food blog? I mean, it gets very niche because it niches down.
That's interesting. Yeah, because food, it has to look good or people don't want to learn about it or taste it or anything, for sure. Yeah,
for sure. Crazy. For sure.
So I know you have a mug you showed me before the show. So show us your mug and tell us the story.
Here's my mug. I can't tell you. It's
blue?
It's a cobalt blue. It's my favorite color. And it's my favorite mug. There's a match set. I drink coffee out of this mug almost every morning. I bought it in Macy's Bargain Basement in New York City in 1987 when my wife and I lived there for grad school. And so I have coffee out of it almost every morning. But today, this afternoon, I'm drinking kombucha, which is, do you know kombucha? Kind of a fermented green tea. This is a local product. We have a kombucha company here locally, and they have an amazing coconut lime.
Oh, nice. I'm not a fan of kombucha. I've tried it several times, and I don't know why. I'm just...
You know, I've tried a number of them, but if you get a chance, Hum is out here on the West Coast, but it's Hum, H-U-M-M, and it's not got the same sort of extreme wang tang that some of them have. I mean, it's a fermented product, so it has some, but it's pretty good.
Nice. Well, I am using one of my Wonder Woman mugs in honor of you today.
Oh, thanks. So,
it's my Wonder Woman Through the Ages mug, you can see.
That is lovely. And,
isn't that cool? That was a Christmas gift. So,
that is great.
And I'm drinking coffee with cream and sugar. And as I told you before, I don't usually drink coffee at 5 o'clock, but I didn't sleep well last night and I need to be awake. So it's a coffee day. So I'm just going to sip my coffee and ask you a bunch of questions.
That'll work.
The first one is, how did you get started in WordPress?
Oh, so this is my second career. I had a first career in nonprofit management, and in the last 5 years of that, I was doing a lot of techie geeky things for those organizations, including some drag and drop websites and email newsletters, that kind of stuff. And in 2008, right before the last recession, my position got downsized and I kind of stumbled into, gosh, people would pay you to do that stuff. It's like it had never occurred to me before. And so I started out freelancing and, I was really fortunate because we didn't have to depend just on my income alone. And so that gave me time to kind of, ramp up, freelancing. And, so I've been doing that for about a year and I went to a conference and I met a guy that I had known before, but I didn't realize he was doing iOS app development as a side gig. And so we started talking tech and I'm telling him what I'm doing. And he goes, oh, you should totally be building those websites in WordPress. And I was like, I don't have any idea what you're talking about. I've never heard of that. And so we left this conference with a plan for to have a phone call. And we made like a landline phone call in early 2009. And we both logged into the back end of his WordPress website. You showed me how it was mind blown. It was amazing. It was great. So I started doing WordPress stuff and, it just took a while to kind of get going. At first, I didn't have a real strong code or coding background, but you pick up what you need to do and learn things along the way and strengthen some of those skills. And so started doing WordPress, and then about 5 years ago I hired my first employee, and then now we're a team of 2 full-time folks and about half a dozen contractors around the edges. So.
Wow, that's fantastic. And when you said like you logged in and he showed you the dashboard side of WordPress, the mental image that came to me right then and there was After Dorothy's house lands in Oz and everything's been black and white, and then you open the door and everything is in Technicolor. Like, that was the look on your face, like, wow, that was.
It was like, oh my gosh, you know, that it could look so much nicer, that, you know, at that time, you know, people were doing these drag and drop websites and like GoDaddy and all these other platforms. And it's just so easy for the end user to mess stuff up. Yeah. Right. And because of my background in nonprofits, a lot of our folks that I was working with initially were, you know, small nonprofits and churches and all that. And the secretary or the admin assistant or the volunteers doing the website, it's just, you know, you just bump something and then it's like really hard to get it all fixed again. And that was what we kept coming back to over and over. And so WordPress gave them, you know, they could just do the editor and it didn't have to look bad. And so, yeah.
I remember the early days of WordPress trying to line up images. And remember that? Like, oh my gosh. Like,
you know what I, you
Gutenberg
know what I used to really
and block builders? Oh, what?
Yeah, was how it would would strip out the extra spaces that you wanted to make. So if for some reason you wanted to have an extra space and it would strip that out. And I remember I figured out that you could put, if you made a new line and you put a period on it, and then you made the period the same color as the background, it would hold your space and not rip it out, right? And you gotta like work around it and get.
I used to make 10 pixel by 10 pixel blank PNGs for the same reason. It's like, yes. I can't make it work. I'm putting a blank image in there. Yeah, okay, exactly.
Exactly.
Speaking of things that people do wrong, the next question is, what do you think are some things that we don't do well enough as builders and designers and developers that would make websites better for the end users?
Well, you know, clearly our big passion recently has been doing accessibility. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, CDC estimates that about 20%, 20 to 25% of all US adults need some sort of accommodations. And so why would you not want to grow your website audience by 20 or 25%, right? And sure. So all of, not to mention, you know, not getting sued or all of those kind of pieces too, but improves your SEO, all of those things, right? And I really think that accessibility is going to become kind of like mobile responsive was 5 years ago. Like, you know, mobile responsive came on and then like some people started doing it and it's like, it's a good thing and we ought to really all do it. And everybody went, I just haven't figured that out yet. I'll get there. And now no self-respecting developer would build a site without making it mobile responsive. And I really think we're going to get there with accessibility too, that within another few years, that'll just be something we all have some base level knowledge about how to do.
Yeah. And I think too, it's like, so some things will make it easier for us, right? So like the mobile thing, it was like you had to try to retrofit sites and things like that until the themes and, you know, WordPress itself became mobile responsive. So I think we're going to start to see more things baked into themes to prompt accessibility.
Yeah, clearly. And that's a piece like when we're, it's way easier to start with an accessibility ready theme that has some of those things already baked in it. And then you don't have to try and retrofit them in. And in fact, some of, you know, depending on what it is, when we'll do an audit, we'll come back to the client and we'll say, you know, you could pay a lot of money to have this retrofitted, but it's just going to be cheaper for you to have a new website theme. Mm-hmm. And maybe even including a new custom design on the top of that theme, but start, you know, that's going to be cheaper than trying to retrofit stuff.
Absolutely. Yeah. Retrofitting just gets into all kinds of issues.
Well, then it becomes, when you do that retrofitting, then it becomes a custom theme, right? That you've then got to support every time something else changes. I mean, just you set it up to kind of have breakages along the way. If it just seems to me, it's a lot better decision to get something that's already got a lot of that built in a way that's
and fresh design's never a bad thing either, you know, every couple of years to kind of I don't mean rebranding, but just freshening up the visual part of a website. So if that kind of prompts the whole accessibility thing too, that's not a bad marriage.
I tend to say, I talk to clients and I say, you know, it's about every 3 to 5 years. Mm-hmm. Our nonprofit clients tend to go 7 to 8 years. Some of them, you know, it's kind of, they're just not able to afford to do that.
Right.
Again.
Exactly.
But, you know, in a business, I would say 3 to 5 years. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Absolutely. What's something that you wished you had learned earlier in your WordPress journey that would have made life a little easier?
I really wish I had understood more about how to value my time, my team's time, and pricing. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I came into doing this with a little bit of a foundation in business. My grandparents ran retail. They ran a little grocery store. And mm-hmm. so a lot of some of the business things and dealing with clients in some ways, you know, some of those values and kind of stuff, that I came with that. Mm-hmm. But pricing products like groceries and pricing services is really different.
Yeah. It really is.
There's such a range, and it's just a different thing. And so I really wish that I had understood how that worked. And then that, you know, as you gain skills and experience, whether you're a freelancer or you're working on a team, or, you know, all of that, as you're gaining experience, you know, you're doing things faster, you're doing things right the first time. And all of those are of value to the client. You should be, I mean, it's a value-based kind of proposition. Mm-hmm. Raising your price, but it's hard to do that sometimes, you know.
It is.
So I think we're finally, you know, our agency is really in some ways kind of just in the last 3 years, you know, out of 12, making that, you know, it's like turning an aircraft carrier sometimes, you know, it's gonna take
a while. Can't do it on a dime.
No, for sure. And then, you know, I hadn't really thought too, I guess I had thought about it once in a while, but I had a talk with a guy here locally that in a tech, you know, as you're meeting people in other tech outside WordPress, you know, other tech mm-hmm. stuff, and he said, he's CEO of this thing and da da da. And he said, I would just be raising the price every year until they, you know, you're gonna, then you weed out some of the people, you know, that are problem and just looking for the cheapest thing and till you get pushback for sure. Yeah,
exactly.
So I don't know. We'll have to see how that all goes. But we certainly hadn't for a long time raised prices for our existing customers.
Yeah, that's how I was when I started out freelancing as well, and quickly learned that I couldn't keep up the pace that I needed to turn out the work at the price that I was charging people. So it definitely, you have to find that tipping point for yourself, whatever that is.
Well, yeah. And in terms of pricing, you know, just sort of like really becoming more of an agency and then getting our folks to full time and then realizing, yeah, you know, if I'm going to pay this person full time, I really ought to offer them health insurance, and we ought to offer an IRA, you know, an IRA, and we ought to mm-hmm. offer some other benefit, you know, more paid time off than I was giving. And, you know, I was like, yeah. You know, all of those expenses begin to creep. And as we're doing more complex projects, then we have more software licenses that we're buying, more services that we're paying for. And,
it's a big snowball.
It is. And it's kind of like, you know, at a certain point, somebody said something about, oh, yeah, you could, I grew my agency to 15 people. And I'm like, no, I am not going there.
I don't blame you.
It's like, I'd rather do a bunch of part-time, I think, I don't know, today I'm saying that, you know.
Understood.
But
yeah. When you think back over the different WordPress type events you've gone to, so meetups, WordPress, WordCamps, you know, other events, what is there? And if there is, what is it? Is there a moment or two that were kind of like pivotal moments for you? Maybe you met somebody special, you saw a special talk, you learned something. Tell us a little bit about that.
So I've been to a lot of WordCamps, mostly WordCamp US. Now I went to the last one in San Francisco, and then that was my first big national one. And I was a local meetup organizer both in Fresno. And then when I moved to Bend, I'm one of the organizers here. So I do that a lot. One of the things that it's not necessarily one experience, but mm-hmm. I just really love going to WordCamps, and it's like a family reunion. It really mm-hmm. is. And, you know, once you start meeting people, like, you know, you and I'll meet at a WordCamp and we'll have a great time, you know, check in, mm-hmm. how you doing? And, you know, it's a family reunion replete with people that annoy you sometimes, as well as the people that you're glad to see, but also, you know, just a lovely kind of set of people that are all working with WordPress in so many different ways. And that's always astounding to me. Mm-hmm. And I guess if I do have to put one moment, it would be when I went to my very first WordCamp, which was WordCamp Los Angeles, 2013. And Chris Lemma was the keynote speaker. And I can't remember exactly what he said, but it was a picture in my head. And basically he was saying, like, in the WordPress community, you know, we all come to these events because we want to learn new things. But part of the being part of the community is always remembering that you got to turn back and help other people, like, mm-hmm. come up and learn stuff from you. Everybody has stuff to teach. Everybody has stuff to learn. And it does, that really is my sense of the WordPress community, right? We mm-hmm. all have something we can share. And I tell you, sometimes it's people don't even realize that they're teaching, right? So I'll be at a WordCamp and I'm pretty extroverted. So I'll talk to lots of people, you know, just strike up conversations with strangers. And, you know, so I'll talk to a young freelancer or whatever. And then the questions they're asking or the ways that they're describing things, it's like, oh yeah, I got to think about that more. Like, you know, so sometimes you don't even realize you're helping other people, I guess, in a way. Right. But I just love that sense of community and being with, you know, seeing people, you know, but also that you knew people, and even like observing people who work for competing companies mm-hmm. or have competing plugins or products. And you realize these people not only know each other, they seem to like each other. Mostly
they're friends
and they encourage one another, build one another up. And it's like, it's not that sense of I'm gonna crush the competition. It's really about building one another up and that knowing that if we help each other, we all become better, right? So I love that. Just that sense of community.
Yeah, me too. I my first WordCamp was probably, I think it was 2015. So it's been about 5 years I've been doing WordCamps, and I was like just dumbfounded the entire day with the sense of community at this one small camp that I went to. And then I went to a bigger camp, and well, you know, the rest is history, so to speak. I've been bit by the WordCamp bug. I think I've spoken over 40 times now in 5 years. So I just absolutely love, love, love it. So yeah, no, I totally understand.
What's your favorite talk that you've given?
It's like asking me to pick a favorite child.
Well, it is. I know.
But, I gave a keynote last year that was kind of based on the same one, but my favorite one is probably the one I did at Boston in 2018 about how to be a WordPress superhero. So, and it's all about community. All about
community. Yeah. It's cool.
Pretty cool stuff. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
So talk about agency life a little bit. Like, you know, what are the ups and downs? I know that, you know, we talked a little bit about before we started the show about we get great clients, we have to fire clients sometimes. And, you know, I remember when I was running my freelance agency, I was like, the first time somebody said to me, fire clients, I was like, is that a thing?
Why would you ever do that? Yeah, exactly. Why would you ever do that? I've only had to do it a few times, but we had to do it this week. Yeah, it's been the week for just strangeness with clients. And so mm-hmm. We did, you know, sometimes I think early in my freelancing, maybe that's another thing I wish I had known that I could fire a client, right? And partly when I was first starting out, it's kind of was a little tricky because my clients were all people who, if I hadn't known them in a different context, they knew other people I knew. So it's like when you get those kind of clients that you have connections with, mm-hmm. that it gets really tricky, all those relationship things.
It's like dating your ex's friends or something. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I don't know. One of the clients I had early on, you know, we did like 17 rounds of design drafts.
Oh my word.
Because I didn't know how to say no at the beginning. And then, you know, just mm-hmm. kind of, I should have known how to say no. I had teenagers. I should have known how to do that. But, so it's been kind of one of those weeks. We have clients where they need a website. Clearly their organization needs a website, but the client doesn't really understand how websites work or what they are or how to look at the development site that we have sent them the link to a half a dozen times. And they keep saying, have you done blah, 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 blah. And this doesn't, and this needs to be done. This needs to be done. And we're like, yeah. Have you looked at the link?
Did you click that link yet?
Clearly not. Wow. So we had that, but I fired a client this week on a $7,000 project. Wow. Because as we got to going, there was another consultant.
Oh.
A person do like an, I guess, an SEO consultant, okay, who just had really different understandings of how we might implement accessibility. And
yeah,
and it just became clear that we were operating on different pages, and I really, really just did not want to put the client in the middle of all that. That would be awful. If you were the client and you just got like these two people telling you vastly different things, no, she needs to find somebody that can be on the same page as her other consultant. So
yeah, no, that makes sense.
I think my team breathed a sigh of relief as we were all watching that unfold, and it was like, ooh, that's not looking good.
Yeah, exactly. Sometimes it's not worth the money. The money is not worth your sanity and your team. And yeah,
it would not have been. Well, and you know, in the end, it would have taken, I mean, in the end, this is a pre-existing relationship with that consultant. So in the end, I think we would have been dragged way out of our comfort zone into what we thought was going to be the correct way to implement some things, the most, you know, accessible, or the right way to implement all that. And so, you know, at a certain point, you got to take a stand and just sort of say, I don't feel comfortable going there.
So, yeah, no, that makes sense.
But it's tough. It's kind of like a little bit of a nail biter, kind of like, I hope that,
I'm sure you will too. You know, I always find that when you make the right decision, even if it's a hard decision, you usually find a reward somewhere else. Like, you just made room for like the best client you wouldn't have time for otherwise, or something, you know?
Maybe. Yeah, maybe. I hope. I mean, there's some. Yeah. But it is kind of weird. You know, over the years, I've gone for, as an agency, kind of the owner of the agency, you know, I used to do all the work, and then had one employee, and, you know, she started doing more of it. And then as we were trying to make that kind of shift around our pricing, some, I really also got really intentional about how do I do basically sales, right? How do I take on, how do I be more intentional about sales and not just let those fall in my lap when they do, right? And so some of our greatest clients have just fallen into our laps, right? But how do you be more intentional about that process? And so that's more of my time now, is really doing sales and bookkeeping and all the administrative pieces of all of that. I mean, I still do development stuff. I still do a lot of the heavy lifting, Gravity Forms and WooCommerce stuff. So I love getting in there. Solving problems. That's what I really love to do. Solve a problem and diving in until you kind of figure it out. This week I have been doing, we have a client that's at a daycare center.
Oh, cool.
And in California, like I assume there are everywhere, the state puts out these like forms that you're supposed to have every parent fill out. And so there's like a 3-page health history form. And of course with COVID now, they're wanting all of those, like, to get as much of that stuff online as possible. Okay. So we set up, I don't know, maybe you've never even heard of this. So Travis Lopes, who works on the Gravity team, has his own little plugin called Fillable PDFs.
Cool.
So you can take a PDF that's already been set up with its fillable forms, could put that into the website as a template. Then the really cool thing about this plugin is then you can tell it, I'm going to upload this PDF, slurp all those fillable fields, and let me choose what type of Gravity field to make them. And there's your there's the whole structure of your Gravity form. And then when somebody fills out that form, it can get printed off as the PDF, as the form with the checkboxes and all the info that's printed out and the signature. And
that's like, pretty slick.
I'm geeking out over that. Oh my gosh, I'm just geeking out. I ran into problems and Travis is helping me, but you know, it's like, I'm loving that. It is amazing.
That's really cool. Yeah. And I can, I mean, I'm sure there's privacy issues and everything else you've had to work through as far as data and that kind of thing. So yeah, that's really cool. That's really sweet though. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, I want to move into our rapid fire questions if you're ready.
Okay, I'm ready.
I know you've listened to the podcast before, so these won't come as a shock to you. But as I always say, I'll ask them rapidly, but you take as much time as you need to answer them.
I will do that.
Okay, cool. So what are 2 or 3 must-have plugins that you would recommend to somebody building their own website?
Well, definitely a Kismet. Delete Hello Dolly right away. But I think if you have anything beyond a contact form, I would go with Gravity Forms. We do tons of stuff with Gravity. We do, you know, like like I was just describing, kind of some super mm-hmm. amazing things. But even for like just the event registrations and taking donations and stuff, Gravity Forms mm-hmm. can be pretty amazing. I'd say WordFence in terms of security too, just mm-hmm. probably.
Those yeah.
We have a some template sites that already have probably like 10 or 15 plugins on them that we use on almost every site. But
mm-hmm. Yep, I think we all
those have, are three of them.
We all have some of our go-tos, right? Absolutely. Did you have a mentor at any point during your WordPress or business journey, whether it was official or unofficial, somebody who took you under their wing maybe, and who was it?
I've had like some short encounter. I don't know that I've had a mentor in that way, a traditional way of thinking about it. I've had some people who, like the guy, the iOS app developer who just sort of nudged me in the direction of WordPress. Mm-hmm. I had, a person in Fresno, a woman younger than me, but in tech, just really, super talented and kind of encouraged me for what I was doing and kind of celebrated with me occasionally when I would run into her. I think really the mentorship for me has come through a lot of podcasts. So and that's nice. Where I kind of got a lot of connection to, I've listened to WordPress Weekly in the beginning and Matt Report. And actually my latest thing has been more businessy podcasts as I've moved into more of that role. And my big one that I listen to mostly is called Tropical MBA, and it's I do have issues with it because they kind of lapse into this more bro culture kind of stuff every once in a while, but it's about these guys that are talking about location independent businesses. But what I really love is they talk about the entrepreneurs talk about process of building a business, right? And they have this thing about, they talk about when you start a new business it takes 1,000 days to replace your old income. Okay. They talk about kind of this, where are you in this process? And da, da, da. And I think it's helpful not only for me, but for me to, as I'm dealing with our clients, right? Like, where is this business in sort of their trajectory of development and how can we best help them? Mm-hmm. And, so I listen to, that's what I do. So mostly podcasts, I think.
That's cool. I love that we, in today's day and age, we can get kind of mentorship from so many different places and so many different people who may not even know that they're mentoring us.
Exactly. Exactly.
Absolutely. Who is someone you admire in the WordPress community and why?
I think it's not a person, but the support team, the contributor support team. When I went to WordCamp San Francisco in 2014, they talked about Contributor Day and I never heard about Contributor Day. And so mm-hmm. I went and one of the other teams, I thought, oh, that's going to be a good fit for me. And when I went, it was really different than what I thought it was going to be. Uh-huh. But there was a group of people just down the table who were laughing and joking and having a great time. Everybody else was very, very serious and on task. And that was the support team. And I connected with them. I knew one or two of them, had met them during the weekend. And I connected with them. And that was when we launched Slack. I mean, I went home and literally Slack was launched. And so got connected with the support team, became a contributor there and a moderator on the forums and did a lot. Initially, I did a lot with multi-site. I had mm-hmm. developed a number of multi-sites and so did a lot of stuff there. And then kind of shifted away from directly in the forums to working with the team and onboarding new volunteers. And, we've gradually changed away a lot of that. And in the last year and a half or so, I've had to kind of step back from support as much in terms of doing stuff directly with the team. But I just think it's a great example of how contributor teams can come together. And, we have fun, we joke. If you ever, if you just want to like check that out sometime, you should just sort of pop into the Slack channel for forums and, emojis and GIFs flying around and, just a little bit of joking and teasing and that's just really a sense of community. And I like that. So.
I volunteer on the marketing team for WordPress. And we actually had a trivia call this afternoon where Abba had 24 trivia questions. And I thought it was like WordPress, because she called it WordPress trivia. No, it was like geography and food. And I was like, there's 24 yeah. questions. I got 8 right. I love Jeopardy. And I was like, I had no clue where she was getting some of these answers from. But it was a lot of fun. And we all were laughing and having a lot of fun together. So yes, absolutely. I can understand that.
Well, and I think especially now in like pandemic, where we're all kind of most more at home and not doing mm-hmm. as much publicly, it's just really important to have those kind of connections.
Absolutely.
My mom and dad, you know, like a month ago asked me like, how you doing and all this. And I was like, you know, not a lot has changed for me. Yeah. I worked from home before and I'm working from home now and yeah. I do my meetings on Zoom and I'm doing my meetings on Zoom. And
yeah. Bunko has been canceled, but.
oh, you play Bunko.
I used to. Yeah. It's been a while. Been a yeah. while though. That was fun.
One of my favorite things here locally has been the Economic Development Council does a monthly pub talk. Oh, and cool. So they'll do it at one of the local pubs and there's good food. And then they have a kind of people, they try to do some people doing at the kind of early startup phase. And then somebody doing a kind of some people doing pitches for funding. We're not giving funding, but you could practice your funding pitch. And then, people giving reports about things that, you know, as they're further along. And that's just really cool. I almost never make it. I'll tell you a secret. The secret is, so they have the presentation thing, which is in one side. It's kind of one conference room. And mm-hmm. the food is over on the other side, but they have a big screen and they kind of like pipe it in. Mm-hmm. I almost never make it out of the room with the food because really what I'm going for is talking.
The networking, yeah.
I keep an ear on the presentations, but mostly, I'm just chatting.
That's awesome. That's fun. I'm a people person too, so I'm all about the talk, connecting. I love that.
Yeah.
What's something you'd still like to learn in WordPress, but that you haven't tackled yet?
You know, I don't know that I have these aspirational goals, but stuff just falls in my lap. You know, like this fillable PDF. I had never edited a PDF before last week. I just never needed to.
Right.
And like learning how to go in there and you set these fields and you have to give them an export value. And I never, so it's like, you know, whatever falls in my lap next.
It's kind of fun, like right?
Learning. Yeah, exactly. I know enough to be dangerous. I've white screened my share. Well, we don't white screen them anymore, but you know, I've white screened in my share of sites.
Exactly. Broken.
You don't learn if you're not breaking stuff.
That's true. That's true. I we released the newest version of GiveWP this week. And so I got in there and started playing with it. And this is before it was actually released. So it was in beta and I'm helping test it. And every site I uploaded it to, it didn't work. And so I discovered the plugin that was the conflict because I had it on all my websites. So there you go. But it's fun to learn and it's fun to break things and it's fun to fix things and
it is. I like it. I like that a lot. And, you know, I'm always telling folks, you know, when we do something, we have an issue with a plugin or whatever. Well, we had an issue with GiveWP with importing previous Stripe transactions or something. Mm-hmm. And I worked with Ben on that or whatever. And well, they're going to work on that and come back. I say, I'm always happy to test. Always yeah. happy to work with you on testing. And we've done some stuff with a couple of plugins for accessibility, right? Mm-hmm. We've noticed this problem, and so we send them some info, and got some folks on our team that got some props on that this week. That's great.
Yeah. Very nice. That's awesome.
Yeah, no, just trying to learn as it comes along, and just love. Yeah.
So speaking of like white screening and those kinds of things, what's the biggest mistake you've ever made in WordPress, and what did you learn from it?
Well, my biggest one recently was we changed the way we're doing backups for our client sites. Uh-huh. And so now instead of doing backups through PHP, we're doing them through the server.
Okay.
And actually one of my best decisions in the last 6 months has been hiring somebody to do server administration with me. Kind of like
nice.
Help me with that. And yeah. so he set this up for us, right? So it's just taking a backup of all the whole cPanel and blah, blah, blah. We don't have to worry about that anymore. So I went in and I was cleaning up Amazon S3, where we had all of these old backups that we had been sending to S3 right. for all of these sites. We manage about 180 sites.
Okay.
And so I started deleting them, but I hadn't really thought it all through quite. And some of those folders had like PDF files or image files or media files where we had uploaded, and they were kind of just gone then.
Oops.
was kind of a big oops. Mostly, I think we've rectified it all and gotten stuff from the clients or had some backups miraculously. Or, yeah, you know, the files were still sitting on my hard drive because I just didn't ever clean it up. And yeah, that was a big oops.
We do live and learn, don't we?
Yeah. I'm prohibited from deleting too much in Amazon now.
I understand that. I do understand that. Well, what's the opposite? So what's your proudest WordPress moment?
What is my proudest WordPress moment? You know, I don't know. I don't dwell on stuff like that. Any time I can bend WordPress to my will and make it work, not like cowboy coding, but like right, I can do this thing that I didn't think I could do and I can make it do that. I just get really excited and I'm excited to talk about it. And I can tell that it's not, you know, super exciting because my eyes glaze over like, okay, I got about that much of that. But I'm glad you're excited.
I remember telling I'm divorced now, but telling my husband at the time, like the first website that I launched, and I made him look at every page and everything. Like by the fifth or sixth one, I'm like, look, I did another website. He's like, that's nice. All right, I get it. You don't want to look at every. It's, you're not like, you know, putting them on the refrigerator like when you're a kid, right?
No, but you know, it's sort of like I really geek out over some of the stuff. Like I'm gonna take this PHP function and then I'm gonna change this part of it and make it do this other thing that it really wasn't intended to do in the first place, but now it will do this. And
right.
Okay.
Go for it, honey. Yeah.
Exactly.
Too funny.
I love making stuff work like that. You know,
oh, yeah.
It's kind of like it feels like. Sometimes it feels like, you know, like getting your hands dirty doing an engine or something. It's kind of like getting in there.
Yeah, it's like when I figured out that you could use Give's tribute function to set up e-cards and make an e-card generator, and you didn't have to change any code or anything. You just had to figure out how to do it. And like everybody at Give was like, wow, they hadn't thought of that. And I was like,
repurposing.
Yes.
Yes.
It made me happy.
Yes, exactly. I love those kind of things.
Absolutely. So much fun. If you weren't working in web technology or technology at all, what's another career that you might like to attempt?
I'm not sure. You know, part of my personality is that I just like lots. I'm intensely curious about all kinds of stuff.
I understand.
So lately I'm thinking, oh, public health would be really interesting. It's like whatever du jour, you know, working with all the food blogs. I could be a chef, right? I could do, you know, something maybe. My brother works for Intel, and they are very generous with sabbatical kind of stuff. And so maybe like 15 years ago, he had his first sabbatical, and he went to culinary school for did a 10-week culinary school thing or something. It was really kind of, I don't know, maybe not 10 weeks, but some culinary school thing. And it was brought, he would bring his knives to the family reunions and
Be all professional.
Well, I could do that. That'd be
sure.
Good. Public health. I could do, I don't know. Customer service, maybe. I like talking to people.
I've been watching old reruns of Hell's Kitchen. So maybe this next year, one of my next questions will be, you know, who is the Gordon Ramsay of WordPress? No, maybe not. Maybe I shouldn't ask that.
Yeah, you know, if people want that, that would be, you know what? That would be a really interesting show to develop. Right? Because those shows have a kind of a, you don't ever see them on the show, but you have somebody in the background that's sort of mediating all of that, whatever. So you could have different WordPress developers and agencies, and then you get the website from hell, and then you're like filming people saying like, what the hell were you thinking doing this? Like, don't you see this is never going to work for you? Why would you say that?
Exactly. Too funny. What's something
your website takes 5 seconds to load. Nobody is seeing it. We could go on and on and on.
So basically you could be the Gordon Ramsay.
I'm not that mean. And I don't curse well enough. I'm not fluent in cursing enough, I think.
So you could have fun with it, though. You could have fun with it.
Maybe. I don't know. Do you think all agents, I do watch this once in a while because, you know, it's a, when you're working with clients, there is this kind of propensity sort of like to bemoan some of the, I mean, we celebrate the really good, oh my gosh, the client this week who is like, you haven't sent me an invoice. I send her the invoice. She pays it in like less than 10 minutes.
Oh my
gosh,
those are the best.
I love that client. Right. So there we celebrate the ones we love too, but like,
right.
This person just doesn't understand what we are asking them to do. Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Or they're just off their crazy ass mind. Anyway. So definitely. I do watch us though around a culture. It's always this balance, right? You know, I get it. There's a kind of a camaraderie and like acknowledging the stupidity sometimes or the ignorance not just the ignorance, but the refusal to let us help them be educated.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so we kind of grouse about that. But I really kind of also am conscious as the agency owner about, does that create a culture where we're always sort of discounting the client, right? So we're trying to be conscious about how that talk impacts our culture as a organization. But
yeah.
It's fun to think about. It is fun to think about. And we do great emojis and we do great, you know.
Exactly.
Great gifts. Like, oh my gosh.
Yeah. And like they do those rapid challenges at the beginning would be like 350 word blog post about whatever right now.
That'd be good. Yeah. Actually, I have toyed about not doing that, but I have toyed with thinking about putting out, would it work to, if you had the right client, could you do a 48-hour blitz build on a project? Hmm. Right?
Well, that's what hackathons are.
Well, yeah, but to do that as an agency, right? As a product we would offer, we're going to set aside 2 full days. We're going to work extra hours doing that together for you. You're going to have all of these things all ready for us. Mm-hmm. And you're going to be working during that 48 hours, getting other stuff as we come across things we missed. And then it comes as a premium, right? Because that's a crazy way to build a website, but.
Yeah. If you do it, film it. I want to see it. What's something on your bucket list?
Oh, I want to travel more. Yeah. That's my big bucket list. And of course, right now we're not traveling very much at all. I want to go. I've done some traveling in Europe. I would like to do more in Europe. I want to take a food tour of Italy.
Ooh, that sounds amazing.
I don't do seafood, but Italian food just so much.
Elastic waist pants if you do that.
Further in Italy, some parts of Africa, even Latin America. I'd really love to do that.
Yeah, I love food. Food is so good.
So I'm looking forward to the, I probably will not let my passport lapse. And that's been really cool about going to WordCamp Europe in Paris. And that was just amazing. That was really lovely. And, you know, I always go to those events and I feel super bad that everybody's speaking English and I'm really pretty much a monolingual English speaker.
Mm-hmm, me too.
I started doing Duolingo and I'm about that far on Spanish.
Me too. Hola.
Hola.
My name is Michelle. It's about what I can remember.
Yeah. Well, I'm pretty dedicated. I do it every morning and I have like a 300 some day streak.
Oh, that's nice.
So I'm getting there, but I'm clearly not, I mean, that would be my, like, that would be, maybe that's an aspirational goal. Maybe to have some simple conversations in Spanish, be able to speak a little bit in Spanish, but, nice. But you know, that's the whole rest of the world accommodates us English speakers.
Yeah, I agree. It'd be nice to be able to speak back to in somebody else's language for sure.
Yeah, for sure.
Show us or tell us about a hidden talent that you have that the WordPress community might not know about.
So I don't think I had really identified this before, but in I did a thing, Corey Miller was doing a thing on a book study on a thing with like personality types for in leadership. And so I took the little, it gives you, it has like a little, I mean, it's a reputable book and it's the Gallup people that put out this thing. So it's not like just fly by night. So I took this assessment thing. And one of the things that it came out with one of my strengths was you are an optimizer. And it says, faced with any challenge, you will repeatedly optimize until it cannot be optimized anymore. Or something to that effect. And it's like, yes, that is my superpower. I just keep like tweaking and optimizing and processes and blah, 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 blah. So we have a, you know, we have a, in Basecamp, we have a 150 point checklist for building a new website project. We're constantly like updating that. But, you know, even at home too, I'll say like, you know, if you pulled all the ingredients out of the fridge at one time and lined them up in this way, you could cook that recipe faster. And I'm like, so it doesn't always come out as a, you know, it can be really annoying too. I know. Well, no, I mean, I think that's a huge piece of, you know, making business work. But I think that's my superpower, is just like my brain is always thinking, how could that be better? How could that be better? How could that be easier? Yeah. How could that be more effective?
As long as you actually let it rest and get some sleep once in a while, then you're good.
Oh, yeah, totally. I actually had to learn that early on, really, about kind of setting limits and, you know, just so I get up and, you know, our team is kind of remote. So we have Laura Cristiano's our content manager, support agent. She's on the East Coast time. So I'm up. I'm an early morning person. I'm up anyway. And I do a little bit, do my Duolingo, and then I'm doing a little thing, do my exercise and shower and all of that and get back on. But then, you know, pretty much 5 o'clock, I'm done. And I stop, and unless there's some crisis or some crunch project or something, but or the server goes down or, you know. But, you know, pretty much I turn it off and we just do, you know, relax in the evenings. And that helps a lot, having those kind of, especially when you're working from home. If you're new to working from home, you got to have those kind of.
For sure. You got to find those boundaries.
Yep.
Absolutely. Yep. How do we find you online, social media, your website?
Yeah, so our website is BHM Biz Sites, Benhanna Marketing, B-I-Z sites.com, and there's a contact form there. And I'm on Twitter at Bethannon, B-E-T-H-A-N-N-O-N.
Excellent. For anybody listening, we will definitely have that in the show notes. Go to wpcoffeetalk.com, look for Bet's episode, and you'll find the video of this and all of the links that we talked about today for sure.
Great.
Is there anything else you'd like to share with us today before we sign off?
No, this has been a lot of fun. I really enjoyed chatting with you.
I'm so glad. And I know that we were talking beforehand. This is your first podcast. So thank you so much for being a guest with me today. It's been a pleasure.
You made it easy.
Oh, good. I'm glad. That's my goal. It's to be like having coffee with a friend. So
you've clearly optimized that process because there were all these lists, right?
I do make it easy. I send you all kinds of stuff in advance and
reminders.
Yeah. So hopefully it works out. It works well. So thank you so much. Thanks so much for being with me today. I really appreciate it.
You're welcome. I'll look forward to seeing you at a WordCamp in person too.
I hope so too. Soonish, 2021 probably. But yeah, I mean, in relative time, that's soon. That's not too bad.
Yeah, exactly.
Sure. We can do it.
All right. In the meantime, be well.
Yes, thanks so much for being here, and we'll see everybody on the next episode of WP Coffee Talk. Bye.
Bye.